This audio is brought to you by motherswhowork.co.uk, the resource for working mums, business mums, and stay-at-home mums.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Joycelyn Akufo. I am the founder and editor of Mothers Who Work. And today we are joined by Dr. Audrey Tang. Good morning.
Good morning, Joycelyn. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So you're a chartered psychologist and a resident expert on Sky TV's The Chrissy B Show. And I thought it'd be lovely to have you on the Mothers Who Work podcast to talk about mindfulness. It's such a big buzzword that's been lingering for a while now, but it's still quite big, with a particular focus on the workplace. So, Dr. Tang, can you tell us exactly what mindfulness is?
Well, that is the big question. If I were to ask anybody in my lectures what they think mindfulness is, I often hear the words meditation, yoga, and breathing. And at the moment, that seems to be the common approach to it. Oh, it's just related to that. Well, actually, I found that a lot of scholars haven't quite been able to agree on what it is. But because it derives from the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism, it does have a spiritual origin and then was later brought into mainstream. I looked back at Buddhism and really there's a focus on mindfulness helping us become more aware of ourselves and our impact on other people, living consciously and in the moment, and generating a sense of personal calm. It then crept into the business life through the stress reduction mindfulness-based course in Massachusetts. And then from that point onwards, people have been using the phrase, oh, mindfulness. But I think where I like to use it is when we say, be a bit more mindful, what do we actually mean? And that's what I believe mindfulness is all about. It is creating that awareness of our impact on other people, on how we can enhance our own performance by being in the present, by understanding that we live very consciously, so we make conscious choices and being in control of our behaviors, and by keeping a calm and open mind. So for me, that's where mindfulness comes in, and that's what the book focuses on generating.
What's interesting to me as well then is I had no idea that it had roots in Buddhism, you know, which is interesting. So there is that spiritual side to it. And you're right, that, you know, like a lot of people, I think, okay, breathing, there's that app called Headspace that's very focused on mindfulness and, you know, meditation and all of that. But it's interesting to know, you know, the deeper origins of it. Thank you for that. So how do we use it effectively then in the workplace?
Yeah, it's largely about finding methods of raising awareness of ourselves. And of course, this is where deep breathing and yoga can actually help us because they are good ways of being able to focus on our bodies. But the reality is, for example, something very simple we can all do is when we're sitting at our desks, take a moment to stretch our bodies a little bit. That in itself can actually help us in terms of posture. It can help us just find that little break in what we're concentrating on and what we're focusing on. And then we're able maybe to pick up again and think about it with a slightly fresher point of view. Also, that stretching helps our posture and it helps prevent some of those physical problems that we can get when we're hunched over our desk all day. Just simply the act of stretching, being aware that our physical bodies do a lot for us in the day, and, you know, be a little bit kind to them, be a bit grateful to them. So that would just be one simple example of something we could do very, very quickly to be aware of how our body's feeling.
So I, like a lot of people, have an Apple Watch, which reminds me throughout the day that I haven't stood up enough minutes, you know, that I need to actually get up and move, and it would just keep on vibrating. I do what the watch is telling me to. It's quite interesting. But you're saying that, you know, that whole act of stretching and all of that can actually help.
Absolutely. I mean, I like the fact that now we have these applications, we have these tools to help remind us to do these things, because that's a huge development. But there's other things that we can do, because in terms of, say, the simple stretch or the simple get up and walk around a little bit, we can add another element of mindfulness, and that is practicing gratitude whilst we're doing it. Because the whole point of the Apple Watch or whatever it is telling us get up, move around, it's reminding us, look after your body, have a think about that and think about how hard it's working. So one thing you can do as you're walking around is it seems silly, but just have a little bit of appreciation for how hard you push your body sometimes and how strong it actually is. And with that, you could bring gratitude in terms of what you're looking forward to in the day, focusing on that, focusing on somebody you've been grateful for already in your day, because that also brings us back to focus on the here and now. So not only are we doing our bodies a lot of good, but we're doing our minds a bit of good as well.
I like that, I really do. Gratitude, that is another, it's not even a buzzword, it's just a word in the world, but you know, so often something gets a spotlight, doesn't it?
And gratitude, it really is.
Is one that I looked into a while back, but you know, in the workplace that can be quite stressful. Deadlines, yep. Lots of targets and to-do lists that seem never ending and so on.
Absolutely. In terms of the huge to-do lists, in terms of managing all of those different priorities, one of the things we can do is to be a bit more aware of what is a priority and what is a to-do list. I often get a lot of people speaking to me saying, oh, I've just got so many priorities. Well, if you've actually got more than three, you've just got a to-do list. So you need to have a think about which ones are truly important for you for reaching whatever goals it is you want to reach. So that's one sort of little thought process that you can go through in your mind. But with that, it doesn't hurt to do a couple of things. The first is to be aware of your boundaries and celebrate and recognize them. If the workplace itself, if they can actually celebrate respecting of boundaries. And if that doesn't happen, and what I mean by this is go to the toilet when you need to go to the toilet, have a drink of water when you need to have a drink of water, and learn to say no when you're taking on too much. And whilst we don't like saying no, what we can do is we can practice little phrases such as, I'll tell you at 5 o'clock, or can you check back with me later? Those things allow us just that little bit of time so we can think about, do I really want to do this? And is this really an effective use of my time? Because our time and energy are so valuable. So that's one thing that we can do. But the other thing is when we are thinking about our future goals and where our work's going or our company's going or our life is going, think of it in terms of the future. Because otherwise, what happens is we plan and train and do all of those things, but what we're training for may well become obsolete. The way the world works now is so fast-paced that something that we've learned even 24 hours ago may no longer serve us particularly well in the next 24 hours. That doesn't happen with everything, but it doesn't hurt to be aware if you are going to pursue some training or you are going to pursue a new skill, that that skill is actually going to be relevant and effective for you when you come to use it.
That's it. I love the title of your book, The Leader's Guide to Mindfulness. How to use soft skills to get hard results.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You've explained how we as individuals can be more mindful and some of the techniques we can use, but some of our listeners, many of them will either be managing teams in the workplace or running their own business. And it can be quite different when you are sort of in charge of other people and their experience of work. So how can we use mindfulness to make the work environment better for our team?
Really, really nice question. Well, first of all, there has been research which demonstrates that there are benefits of incorporating mindfulness as a whole. Things like sleep quality is improved, people get more creative, stress levels drop. And so researchers have been focusing on that. But very specifically, things that you can do yourself, one might be have a self-care audit in the workplace or a well-being audit in the workplace. Really find out whether your employees do feel safe at work, do feel cared about, do they think people are treated fairly. Now, we don't always want to do this sort of thing because we may not like what we hear. But at the same time, this is the whole point about being aware. If we're aware of it, we can do something about it. I think people do realize, or perhaps maybe could realize a little bit more, that when something horrible happens or someone behaves badly, it's not necessarily deliberate. It might be because they're just very stressed or they haven't thought to behave differently. So that well-being audit may actually throw up some things where employees are feeling a little bit upset, a little bit disgruntled, but at least it opens a dialogue to actually do something about that. So that's one thing that a leader could do. Another thing is encourage an understanding of each other's roles and the importance of those roles, because especially when you've got remote teams, and that's a huge thing that happens in today's society. You've got teams who work in different countries, different time zones, and each team has different needs and different priorities. Now, if you sit in your own area and you don't appreciate what other people need or have to have from you in order to do their bit of the job, then it becomes quite difficult to actually get those things done in time. And then that leads to conflicts and problems. And simply by just getting that team together, just for a very quick briefing on a meeting such as this, just online, and saying, well, these are the roles that need to be fulfilled and these are the importance of them. It's recognizing and appreciating that everyone does have a really important role to play and we all contribute to a bigger whole. And so those would be sort of a couple of simple tips for leaders should they wish to think a little bit more about well-being and building relationships in the workplace itself.
That's it. I love everything you shared there. How do you manage the sleep of your reportees? That's the thing.
Yes. I mean, some of the sillier things, I don't mean silly, but the more conventional mindfulness, which people do sadly see as a little bit, oh, get them to do some adult colouring or something like that, which I think is a shame because I do find that very therapeutic. But things like having a time to, or a place at least, to go and meditate or maybe listen to natural sea sounds or something. I know that sounds strange, but having that space created for employees where they can just go and get a little bit of clarity in their minds, it can be really pleasant. It can be something as simple as a little room that's set aside with perhaps aromatherapy smells, should you wish, perhaps with natural sounds, but somewhere that's calm and everybody who goes in there appreciates that someone's going in there because they just need that little bit of headspace. So something like that, again, raises awareness, but offers that opportunity for people to take a bit of time out should they wish to.
So it's not so, I don't want to say, what's the word expression that I use, you know, because often we get these buzzwords and they're quite flowery.
Yeah.
And there isn't much in there, but this mindfulness, clearly it encapsulates quite a lot of different things.
Exactly. The whole point is looking at the concept and thinking about it in its applied and practical sense, because it's all very well us saying be more mindful, but what do we actually mean by that? What we seem to mean is be aware of what we're doing, try and work so that we perform to the highest standard we can possibly afford, and be aware that what we do has an effect on other people. But then you break that question down further and say, okay, well, that's great. In my context, how can I do that? And these are simple little things which not only would serve you well within the leadership and business context, but also in our own professional and personal lives. Because how often do we maybe see our children coming home and then we say, well, how was your day? And whilst the child is explaining what an amazing day they had, we're kind of nodding, but also keeping one eye on dinner, the other eye on our phone. We're trying to send an email. We're trying to do lots of different things. And although we may be very good at multitasking, sometimes we need to take a step back and say, well, really, how much quality am I able to get into that multitask, because I'm putting so many things on the table at the same time?
And that's the thing with working mums, as you've described.
Absolutely. And I have so much respect for being able to multitask in that particular way. But it's also very much about mothers themselves finding the pleasure in recognizing that they can listen to their child with that undisturbed 5 minutes or whatever it might be, and the connection that you can make there or the things that you can learn in that 5 minutes will just serve you well, rather than having to do all of those different things at every one time. I'm not saying you don't have to do all of them. Unfortunately, we all have to do a number of different things at once, but maybe if it's not at once, maybe if it is just 2 minutes at a time, that can make a big difference.
And I'm a firm believer that if you don't have it inside you, in other words, you haven't got everything, the tools that you need to be the best you, you can't come out. So I'm happy you've not taken that time to really give some self-love, which I think ultimately that's what mindfulness is about.
Absolutely. And one thing we've got to recognize, especially when we're talking in terms of raising a family as well, is we are modeling the very behavior we hope to see in our children. And if we are running around all the time and not really paying that slightly more careful attention to everything, we ourselves can't be surprised when our children demonstrate the same need to be busy, but not necessarily to think about exactly enjoying each moment that they're engaging in or the quality of everything that they're producing. So when it comes from us, and when we can show ourselves that respect and that time and recognize our own value, we are going to embed that in the people who look up to us, whether they are our clients, our children, our students, our teams. And that's so important. It's about recognizing that your time and your energy are actually finite, because if your body breaks down, you are not able to do that job. And if you can't do it, who is going to do it? At least who's going to do it as well as you? So respect all of that. And with that, it's also important to consider our social network, not in terms of the social media network, but people around us. Who is there that could support us in this way? Who is there to help us recognize that we are valuable and we need to spend that moment thinking about ourselves, not in a selfish way, but just in a way that it means we can give a better performance to other people and we can be a better role model for those who look up to us. And so that's where, again, being aware of who around us gives us strength and who around us just exhausts us can be very important.
Definitely. And that's the thing, when you're working or you're running a business, time is so precious, and it's about being bold enough to say, some of these friends that I've had for decades, you know, maybe we won't do the talking for hours every day. We might do it once a month or once a quarter because it's draining or because it just doesn't fit. And a real friend will understand that you're busy and that you can't do it every day.
Absolutely. And the funniest thing is, because especially when you're talking about people who are raising families, this is male or female, and also are in care professions, that's another thing where I've recognized this sort of behavior. We have a tendency to nurture, to want to support, to want to help where we can, because that's what's drawn us into that profession or that lifestyle in the first place. But sometimes we have to remember that some people we are sometimes bending over backwards to help or support are not necessarily children or not necessarily people who aren't able to do it without us. They may just be people who have exactly the same opportunities and exactly the same chances or abilities as we do, but maybe who've just found a way of cajoling other people into doing that work for them. So we do have to be a little bit careful with how people approach us and who exactly it is that we are allowing to exhaust us.
Definitely. Honestly, it's one of those ongoing battles that a lot of working people have. But I think, you know, again, as not saying that working mums are martyrs or all the rest of it, you know, these negative situations, but you're so many things to different people that it's important to be mindful.
Yes. And another thing you can do, another tip that you could do very, very quickly is, for example, in the workplace, if somebody is always asking, oh, could you help me do this report? Could you help me do this, that, or the other? Maybe have a template prepared. That little bit of extra work to prepare that template to give to them is worth it in the end, partly because you can keep giving it out to lots of different people as long as the template doesn't need to change, but also, by giving them a template and sending them on their way to do it themselves, you've helped, but also you've encouraged them to take ownership of that work. Plus, you've also been able to say, I'm not going to do this for you. That's your job. And so little things like that as well can make a difference for you. You just learn to put these little ideas in place, and the template's quite a nice one. And that can work in all kinds of areas too, where you've got something I prepared earlier that someone can actually use to then do their own work with it.
Hit the nail on the head. Just in terms of just being organized, really, if you know that people keep asking for the same things in the workplace, yes, there is definitely that benefit, isn't there, to investing that time, a few minutes to get that template. Definitely, that is a tip while having.
And it doesn't need to be hard, because it can just be, here's an old one I did, and take out the bits that you don't want someone to use and have the structure just remaining. We often have a lot more at our disposal if we just think about it. But often we're so consumed actually with wanting to do the work, and it's understandable because people enjoy working. We enjoy doing a good job. But at the same time, we've got to recognize, well, what is my job? What do I need to do? And what do I want to be really good at? And then be able to have the tools to delegate elsewhere, have the tools to be able to support and motivate. Of course, sometimes it will be a case of having your door open, but if you have it open within certain hours, and people know to come to you with specific questions, and it's just having those boundaries set up from the start, then it's much easier to maintain a more organized and more efficient working environment.
Definitely. And I think, you know, for a lot of business mums, when you start out, especially if you're working from home, there is this false perception that actually, oh, you're only working from home, let me pop round for a coffee, or you're
the Yes. this is a huge thing. I don't have children myself, but I work with a lot of postgraduate students who all have families. And not only do we get the whole, oh, you're just working from home, but you're at uni as well. And it's that extra perception of you're not doing anything. And sometimes it is about showing other people that it's hard. What you're doing, being able to raise a family, being able to deal with all of these business demands as well, is difficult. But I think sometimes this is where these very amazing men and women do actually falter, is in recognizing that value for themselves. Because what they tend to do is, and I coach a lot of women as well, they'll tend to say things like, oh, you just do it, don't you? No, you just do it because you're good at it. And you've got to recognize that this is not normal. You have the ability to manage this many things. You have the ability to bring your children to school, then deal with whatever business is thrown at you. Then you need to speak to babysitters, and then you need to bake a cake for the PTA, and then you need to attend to your work again. That's not normal. It's amazing. It's incredible. And until we actually recognize that, and you can say to people where it might be easy because you're very good at multitasking to take on someone else's work, make it clear that it is a slight inconvenience for you. Don't make it look easy to take on their work too. Make your own work look easy by all means, but don't just go, oh yeah, that's fine, I'll do it. It can be even, I will do it on this occasion, but it is inconveniencing me because I do have to do all of these other things as well. Recognize your value. Recognize that your ability to manage so many different aspects of your life is incredible and wonderful. And it's not something that needs to be cheapened into a, oh, well, we just do it. Yeah. People don't just do it.
No, people don't. And once you let people know that, actually, no, this doesn't just happen in the way you're thinking, I actually do this, 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 and this. I remember the first day that, well, to be honest, my children have always seen me working from home, but I also run a tuition business, which has been going over 6 years, 100 plus students, lots of online courses and so on. And I have the perception that literally, just because I speak a lot about Starbucks and how I love my caramel lattes, that they literally thought that I would just do nothing all day. And my senior mine had an extra week off for one of the half term, and so we did a lot of things when his sister was off as well. So we had a week of loads of activities for the family, and then the second week I said, right, I need to get back to work. We'll do bits and pieces, but I've got a whole list of things that we need to do. So let's head to Starbucks for a few hours. You know, you can do some of your homework and all of that, and you know, at least we're in a nice sort of environment, not very homework friendly, but all the same, get a hot chocolate and a pastry or whatever, and I'll blitz through some stuff for a couple of hours. And he said, Mummy, do you really sit here all this time and all you do is work? I said, what do you think I do all day? Seriously. So sometimes the very people who, you know, they hear our conversations, maybe the gripes about people not understanding that actually I can't sit on the phone with you for 10 hours a day. I've actually got things that need to be done. They actually don't necessarily understand it themselves, you know, until either they see us doing it, which it's not always possible, or as you were saying, actually explaining. And not that you are held to account by anybody, so it shouldn't be seen negatively, really, I wouldn't have thought. But just to explain to them that, do you know, actually, I have a 4-hour window. This is what I explained to my son. And then once I saw how shocked he was, you know, he's just turned 13, I thought it can't just be him, because he hears my dialogue of the day practically every day. So if he didn't get it, then I'm sure there are people who are expecting me to be at their beck and call all day, have taken offence that I can't drop everything. They're thinking, well, what does she have to drop? Tuition had a couple of hours after school and on a Saturday. She must have the whole day free. No, you know, so you've got to almost educate the people, your nearest and dearest, to understand exactly what it is you do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. And it's the same tip as the other people recognizing the roles and responsibilities of each element of the team. It's the same thing for us too. We need to show other people and vocalize it, verbalize it, that we do all of these other things. I'm not saying we need to sit there and go, did you know I do? And then reel off a list. But I am saying sometimes when someone puts something else upon you, it is about saying, well, I can do this for you, but this is going to have to take into account that I'm doing this as well and a couple of other things. It doesn't have to be an obvious, I've got a whole list of things, but it's, yeah, this does cause me some problems with the fact that you haven't done your share appropriately.
That's it. And not feeling afraid to do that, because what I found is that that transparency can actually help to heal potential and bring an understanding. So you get your peace of mind as the individual. And other people feel like, okay, I know that between 10 and 2, she's really, really busy, but I can get her at 4 o'clock, for example.
Yes. And it is very much about putting those boundaries for ourselves as well, because we kid ourselves. We're very good at saying, I can do this, I can take it on. And chances are, because you're the sort of person who really has taken on so much stuff, you will be able to take just one thing more. However, I come back to the importance of remembering and looking after our physical health. We push our bodies through a lot, because in doing that little extra thing for somebody else, we might end up staying up late to do that other thing that we weren't able to do. Too much of that, and our body starts saying, I'm not doing this anymore. And we have exhausted ourselves really doing stuff for other people only, and not remembering that we had a goal too. We are important, and our goal is just as valuable as that of other people's.
That's it. And, you know, not feeling guilty. There's no reason to feel guilty about not being able to help somebody in the way that they have asked. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person.
Absolutely. Well, I've got a little tip to support that one, actually, in that sometimes our language needs to be reframed. So I teach my students not to use the words good, bad, or right or wrong, because it does put a weight on it, but to ask the question, is this behavior effective for what I want to achieve? And so it isn't a case of being a bad person, but was I a little bit ineffective by doing your work for you when I probably ought to have done my work and got that done first or better? And it is just about taking off the weight of those loaded words like good and bad. But the only way to make words such as effective or ineffective appropriate is by recognizing what the outcome is we're trying to achieve. So if, for example, you are looking for a slightly more work-life balance outcome, in other words, maybe being able to provide a comfortable environment for your children, which is financially secure and gives you're allowed the freedom to actually go to school plays and so on, that's great. But then you can at least break down your behaviors and your choices in terms of, well, did that really help me in reaching that particular goal? Because otherwise, if we're not clear on what it is, it's quite easy to feel the guilt. It's quite easy to feel the shame sometimes as well, because those emotions come up very, very quickly. And what mindfulness is about is trying to engage more of a wise approach, not too rational, but a balance between emotion and rationality. And that is, focus on what it is we're trying to achieve and look at our behaviors in terms of whether that was effective in helping us achieve that particular goal. And when we say effective, I don't mean that's going to be selfish or going to be telling somebody, oh no, absolutely not, go away, and being rude to them. It may well be about saying, well, I can help you, but I can only help you on Friday. Or I'd love to help you, but actually I can't at the moment, but this person could. You'll find options. Just because often we stick to a habitual response, which is often, yes, of course I'll help, even though we may be feeling, oh my goodness, I really don't want to take on anything else. And then when somebody says, you've got to stand up for yourself, we flip to the absolute diametric opposite of, absolutely not, I'm not going to do this for you. Of course we're going to feel guilty, but behavior is so fluid and dynamic that from yes, of course, I'll help, to no, go away, there's a range of different options that we can have in between. And if we just step back and think about them, that will make a huge difference because we'll have wider choices.
Definitely. Honestly, this has been so insightful and so helpful. I wish we could just keep going.
Oh, no, thanks so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate you having me on your podcast.
Awesome. We'll have to do a part two at some point. So thank you so much. Where can our listeners find you?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram. I'm at Dr. Audrey T. That's my handle on both. And you can also find me on Facebook, which is again my professional page, which is /Dr. Audrey T. And you can also pick up the book in all good bookstores and on Amazon if you wish.
Please get it. Honestly, I've had a read through. I didn't want to give too much away, obviously. And you've given so many insightful tips and things anyway. And if you found any of it helpful, I can promise you that inside the book, there are even more gems and good stuff. So, you know, definitely highly recommend that you get the book.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, our listeners, for tuning in. Please remember to like, comment and subscribe. And I will speak to you again on the next podcast. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Mothers Who Work podcast. If you've got this far and you enjoyed what you've just listened to, please remember to subscribe and spread the love. Share this podcast on your social media accounts and let others enjoy our podcast too. We want to reach as many mums around the world as possible. Speak to you next time.